My scripture reading is in Exodus, so if you would turn there in the beginning of the Old Testament, Exodus 3 and verse 1. Now Moses was pastoring the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord, that leads us into the truth that you would have us see. We thank you for all of the blessings that you bring to us. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless these words and thoughts that we speak, and help them to help each of us as you would have. And in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask. Amen. And the text this morning is Exodus 3 and the verse 3, so Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. My message to you this morning is called The Burning Bush. It could also have been called God calls. And we see that a time came in Moses' life when God had a job for him to do, a task for him to perform, and God called him. But before this, God had remembered his covenant with ancestors before Moses. Let's go and read about that in Exodus 2 and 24. Exodus 2 and 24. So God heard their groaning, meaning the children of Israel, as they were under hard labor, making materials to build cities that the Egyptians wanted them to build. God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so we see that God remembered that he had promised blessings upon the children of Israel. And he had promised them through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so it come to this point after their lives that the children of Israel was in hard labor in a foreign land, in which they first went, and they went with blessings and favor of the Pharaoh and the Egyptian people, because that was in the time of Joseph. And Joseph, of course, remembered, went to Egypt to prepare for the sustenance of the people of Israel when the great famine came in that land. But you know, not too long, virtually immediately after Joseph, then the Pharaoh then of Joseph's days died. And then the next Pharaoh didn't find so much favor with the children of Israel. God had prospered the children of Israel while they were first in the land of the Egyptians. He had prospered them so much so that they became so numerous and so prosperous and so scattered throughout the land of the Egyptians that they now become a threat to the Egyptian people and to the Pharaoh. They were concerned, the Pharaoh was concerned that, you know, they are greater than us now. What if war comes and they decide to fight against us with our enemies? What if? We must do something about this. So we find that they took several steps, and one was to make them work, make slaves out of the children of Israel. Make them build some of the cities that they had in mind to build. And they became even to the point that the Pharaoh decided he was going to kill all of the males that was born of the children of Israel, born of the Hebrews. And so he issued a decree that all the males should be killed. The females should be could be kept alive to work. But in order to keep from being overflowed and having a too great of a threat against them, he decided that the males would be killed. At this point in time is when the cries started to God from his children who were being mistreated, who were being at hard labor, who were made slaves out of. At this time was when Moses came on the scene. And remember that little Moses had to be hid by his mother and sister at the edge of the river in order to preserve his life, and how he came to be found by a daughter of Pharaoh and sheltered. God heard the cries of his people just as he hears us today. What God did back then, he does now. If people back then prayed out and cried to God for what was going on in their lives, why would we think that he would not do that for us today? He will do that. God heard the cries of his people. God realized that a leader was needed for their deliverance, and Moses was the man. He was available, but not particularly talented. Can God use us even though we don't have any real obvious skills and talents? Yes, he can. He did it all through his word. He took men and women that you would think that nothing in their lives would be spectacular or out of the ordinary, and he used their lives in miraculous ways, in unordinary ways. by Moses' own words in Genesis 4 and 19 to show you of Moses' abilities. By Moses' own words, he said that he was slow of speech and slow of tongue. I don't know how that strikes you, slow of speech, slow of tongue. But to me, it says he was not a quick thinker, nor a smooth, talented talker. Sounds like he was not like President Obama. Would you not agree? He was slow. And this is where doubts entered his mind. Fears entered his mind as God called him for this task to lead the people, God's chosen people, out of the land of Egypt. God had a task for Moses to do. Moses seems like in certain scriptures almost tries to hide from it. Almost seems like run from what was evidently a call on his life, recognized by him. Let's look at Moses the man. Moses the man, when you just look at it superficially, you don't recognize some of the things as him being a particular type of person. But Moses had and struggled with a lot of conflicts in his life. Does that fit some of us today? Is there conflicts that we have? Is there fears and doubts within our hearts and lives of things perhaps that is coming in the future? Perhaps things even right now that are a big concern to us. We need to be assured God knows that, and God is concerned about His people and what they are faced with. Moses had conflicts within his heart and within his mind. Moses was born a Hebrew in a foreign land, and he was raised an Egyptian. So Moses had conflicts going on there. There is no doubt that not too far in his life, he was told, probably by his mother or sister, he became aware, you know, he was different. He was a Hebrew. He became aware of this. Probably his mother or sister told him that. He had conflicts because of this. It was conflicts of a social nature. Perhaps he just didn't feel like that some of the things that was being done around him, he just didn't feel comfortable. And no doubt it was because he knew that he was a Hebrew. He knew from speaking with other Hebrew people, including probably his mother and his sister, he knew of the heritage of the Hebrew people. And he just knew that many, many idol gods that were being worshipped by the Egyptians, he no doubt knew they were pagan. This was pagan practice. And there was only one true living God. And so he had conflicts of a social nature, of a religious nature, economic nature. Here his people was in bondage and in slavery, and yet he was raised with a golden spoon in his mouth. He was raised a son of the most powerful person in the land. He was educated that way. And the Egyptians at that point in time was a very educated people, nation, compared to the rest of the world. A very learned society. And so there were conflicts in Moses' mind and in his heart. He battled within himself his feelings that was from his heart toward every aspect of his life. And there was a battle in his mind also, because he was very different. He was a Hebrew, but he was educated. He was blessed of God. Conflicts, ultimately, leading to Moses going with what his heart was telling him. Not his mind was telling him, because he could have easily knew that his life would be much better materialistically if he stayed with the Egyptian side of it. But his heart would not let him. He ultimately went with his heart. And there came a day in which he seen an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And that brought it to the boiling point. And so Moses sealed his convictions that come from his heart by killing the Egyptian. And of course, this then made him now violating the laws of the land of the Egyptians, and in violation of the laws of the Hebrew people. But you know, even though Moses was a murderer, and I use that term simply because it says that he killed the Egyptian, a murder might be defined differently as to why, the circumstances. But he killed a person. But you know what? God still wanted Moses. He still had a job for Moses to do. The circumstances came about in which Moses felt that he had to flee for his life because of this event. He felt that it became known by everyone, and in essence it was. Moses had to flee Egypt, and he went to Midian, which was in the vicinity of the wilderness area in which Moses was to later on lead the children of Israel through. He fled to Midian, and he married the daughter of the priest of Midian there. And the priest's name was Jethro. And the daughter's name was Zipporah. So he fled Egypt. He went to Midian. He married. He had a son that was named Gershom. While Moses was fleeing for his life, going in the opposite direction of seemingly the work that God had for him to do, and where God had obviously tugged at Moses' heart, obviously had this plan for Moses to do. And so the event happened. Moses fled for his life. But meanwhile, God's people are still suffering. They're still calling out to God for deliverance. Now, what about this burning bush? As Moses was tending the flock of Jethro at Mount Oreb, the mountain of God, let's see what Genesis 3 and 2 says. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. That's an attention getter there. Moses could not get over that. He couldn't just pass that by. You know, there's a blazing bush here, and it just keeps on burning, and it doesn't burn up. Abnormal. Unnatural. And this miracle speaks of two things when we think of God working in this manner to gain the attention and issue a calling on Moses' life. This speaks of God's power to preserve in all kind of adversities. No matter where we go, no matter what the circumstances are, God can work in an unnatural, miraculous way. And I would say He does it every day. Every day, calls of God's people goes out to Him. And we may not hear about it. People that done it, being the recipient of this, may keep it to themselves for whatever reason. But the power and the glory goes to God Almighty. He hears prayers. He hears the cry of His people. The second thing is that in speaking of God's personal nature, that bush that was burning and was not burned up speaks of God's nature of remaining unchanged. That bush was burning, but yet didn't burn up. God's nature of being unchanged. All of the godly characteristics of right and wrong, good and evil, righteous and unrighteous, God's nature does not change. He is a gracious God. He is a loving God. And He is concerned about everything that concerns us. Sort of reminds you a little bit about the three Hebrew children that went into the fiery furnace and yet was not changed. They went in where, by all human reasoning, they should have been burned up in the fiery furnace. But they remained unchanged, because God was in the event. Jesus Christ Himself was walking around in the fiery furnace with them. Makes you think a little bit about Paul's calling. Remember when the Apostle Paul was called by God? And he was struck down as he rode on that donkey. And the bright light makes you think of Paul's calling in regard to Moses' calling. God's message to Moses was this: go. Are we willing to hear God's call on our life? Moses had doubts. He had fears. But God had assurances. As we consider our life, we need to consider how Moses was used by God, how Moses responded to God's calling. God called his name twice. It was no doubt. And Moses' response was, "Here I am." And then God gave him the task. And even though Moses had these fears and doubts, God assured him. And with God's help and patience, I might say, because Moses tried God's patience tremendously. But God still wanted to use Moses. And so God altered his plan. So let's keep our hearts and lives, our minds open to God, so that when we see our burning bush, however it may come to be seen by us, that we will say yes to God, "Here I am, use me for what you have me to do." Let's all stand in prayer.